There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Welcome to the family with
Officer Dave,
Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk,
and Andy Brent Bernard.
So, how are things? How's life?
Everything's dandy.
I'm glad to hear it. Did you guys hear the audio? I got to play this audio for you if you haven't heard it, because it's just...
You got audio?
One of my favorite things I've ever heard, and maybe you guys have already heard it, but
it sounds like secretary?
Yes, it's the secretary. You're absolutely right. And I'm trying to find... Talk amongst yourself.
Oh, talk amongst yourself. Here, I'm just waiting for my daughter. My daughter to deliver child.
Oh, really? Congratulations.
Yeah, we're waiting for a baby boy from my daughter, Marissa.
Are you a grandparent yet? Or is this the first?
This is... this will be number... four.
So you're very much a grandparent then.
But this will be the first boy... In the family. My brother has seven granddaughters. I have three granddaughters.
Huh.
This will be the first boy.
Hmm.
Now, my mother will have more great-grandchildren than she has grandchildren
There you go. All right. Yesterday. And again, this is not political, because some people, oh, you're trying to ruin this guy. No. I would do it. I don't care who the hell said it, who did it. I've made a mistake like this in my life, not saying exactly what this guy did, but Secretary Buttigieg was introducing the President of the United States. He brings him up to the podium, and this is, I just love this. This is what the President said, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Secretary Buttigieg.
And look at the black guy. The black guy's laughing his ass off. Who found it?
Somebody help that man.
Somebody help that man. He calls him Secretary Booty Juice.
Buttigieg. I mean, like, does anyone really know how to pronounce his name? Because
Buttigieg? No, I don't think so.
I've heard it 100 different ways.
Yeah, but well. I love Booty Juice. I think Booty Juice is a great nickname for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you ask his husband how to pronounce his name?
That's true. No, he is married, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
He is married. He's with child, and I think when he started his term of office, despite some heavy-duty issues in the United States, he took a two-month paternal leave.
Yes.
Oh, he did.
Yes,
I remember that, yeah.
And I'm thinking,
yeah, he did.
You're Secretary of Transportation of the United States.
Yep.
You're not mayor of South Bend, Indiana. And even if you were mayor of South Bend, Indiana, if you're taking a paternal leave...
Yep.
You're available in the town should law enforcement, fire protection, or anybody else need you.
Yep.
They can come to your house.
Do I get 2 months off in September?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Andy's having a kid in September. You better take 2 months
you
off,
give me
baby.
That paternal leave.
Well, my son-in-law, working for Mr. Bloomberg, Mr. Michael Bloomberg, he gets 6 months paternal leave.
6 months?
6 months paid paternal leave.
How about 18 years of paternal leave? Yeah. Once the kid's out of the house, then you can go back to work.
Yeah, we'll get there. Believe me, we'll definitely get there.
My kids were all born in the early 90s. You know how much I got?
Zero.
Zero.
Zippity-doo-dah.
Yep.
I had 15 minutes while the wife was in the hospital, and I got to go back to work.
I can understand that. That's how it has to be. No question. Yep. Time for you to give. You know, one thing I will tell you. Who the hell were you just talking about just now that your son works with?
He works for Michael Bloomberg.
You know what's amazing? You never hear Michael Bloomberg's name anymore, which is very impressive for a multi-billionaire to kind of take a step back the way he has.
Well, it's because everyone's a billionaire now. Right. So many billionaires, they're not even famous anymore. You hear about a new one every week. It's insane. But, of course, $1 billion is also, you know, not... It's still an insane amount of money that none of us could ever dream of. But it's not like, you know, a billionaire 100 years ago was like unheard of wealth.
Right.
They could buy half the planet if they wanted to. But these days, it's like, you know, the right people and shake the right hands, you become a billionaire.
Well, I think he built a business from scratch.
Did he? Okay.
He built a business from scratch. And it's very interesting. You go into the, I'll say it's not the Bloomberg building. But you go into the offices of Bloomberg News, Business Week News. Mm-hmm. You get off the elevator at the main floor after you've gone through security on the lower level. When you get off the elevator, his office is right by the elevator. And it's a nice really? Office with a lot of windows, so you can see him in there. He can see you. If you need to talk to him, if he's in the office, he's available.
Give him the thumbs up as you
give him the thumbs up. I think that's pretty impressive.
That's cool. I agree. He makes himself available. That's wonderful.
So he is available, and if you look at the list of billionaires, I'll say in the Forbes 400, the majority of them today are self-made. As opposed to inheritance. So it's not the Walton family, which extends.
Walmart, yes, exactly.
Extends to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, the richest man in the United States was Warren Buffett. He is no longer,
yep.
You know, at the top of the heap. For a while, Elon Musk was at the top of the heap, and he is no longer. The price of his stock, Tesla, has
plummeted.
Declined.
Is it plummeted declined. Or just declined?
Well, it's down a lot.
Okay.
But there are an awful lot of people that are looking and saying, geez, Tesla is a cheap stock right now because the price of the stock has come down almost in half. People are still buying Tesla cars, and maybe there's more to come from Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And I still look at Tesla. I'll say the stock and the company is not a company that I want to own. Primarily, it's a car company. I love cars, but there's plenty of competition, and Tesla recently cut their low-end Tesla 2 car, not going to produce that. They're getting way too much competition coming from smaller cars coming out of China. And some of those Chinese cars may eventually make their way to the United States.
Do you think the government would let that happen with
the U.S. government?
The big three having their fingers in the pot like they do?
Well, the... current Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, took a trip recently to China and did kind of sort of caution China about dumping their green products around the world because of excess production in China. And we're talking about green products. It's not only their EVs. It is solar panels and other green products that China makes a lot of, both on a private way through their private companies and through public support, and they do want to export their product. Nothing wrong with that. Now, the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, has said, if you do dump stuff here, or we consider it dumping, we can put tariffs on those products to enable U.S. products or U.S. manufacturers to be able to compete.
Right.
The problem, in my estimation, of putting on tariffs is it raises the prices for U.S. consumers to acquire those products. And it does open the door for a little bit of retaliation for U.S. products that are
shipped
exported or even manufactured in China.
Okay.
So that there could be a backlash. And there are a lot of U.S. companies that do operate in China, and they operate specifically for the Chinese market, not necessarily to bring them back to the United States. So you have companies like Starbucks has a big business in China. You're not going to be exporting lattes back to the United States, but the Chinese government could put a little kibosh on or make suggestions to their citizens. You may not want to stop at
Starbucks.
They could do the same with Nike, because there are competitive brands. There is no real moat around Nike, but Nike has been manufacturing in China for a lot of years. They do make products specifically for that marketplace, but they could be hurt. You could have General Motors does make cars in China. For some strange reason, Chinese like Buicks.
They do, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's so General Motors could be hurt. Favorite Apple has seen a little bit of backlash in China. And Apple is one of the biggest employers in China.
Really?
Yeah. Either directly or indirectly through Apple's contract manufacturing plants.
I figured it was Apple stores every 15 feet or something.
Wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't doubt it at all.
Well, we can go into some of the concerns even that the Justice Department has about Apple with their suit. And if you read the suit, you'd say,
not so much.
Man, you guys are either pushing law, trying to create some law, but to indicate in your suit that Apple is harming consumers and harming competitors. Well, the harming competitors kind of gets me. What the heck are you talking? You're harming competitors
by putting out a good product,
right?
Yeah,
and you're now suing Apple for being a monopolist, primarily because of their iPhone that's only been available for, we'll say, 17 years, and they came up with this product in a highly competitive environment here in the United States. And you're saying today that they're the monopolist, and you're saying because of what? Oh, they have 58% of the U.S. market. They have a 20% share worldwide. But you came up with a term that I had never heard of, and the CEO of Apple never heard of, performance smartphones.
What?
Tim Cook said, I've never heard of a performance smartphone. And I'm looking at my iPhone 13 mini. Because it fits, I like the size, fits my hand.
See, for me, that one had disappeared in my hand.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know,
that's why I went the 12
you
Pro.
You need the Pro Max.
Just
size.
Just the Pro. Okay. I don't need to take all the fancy pictures.
Well, I like taking the pictures. Pictures are great. The storage capability is great.
Yeah, that's
The sound quality from this is great. Mm-hmm. The microphone is great, and it fits in my pocket. And I don't have to fumble around, you know, pulling it out.
Yep.
Now, my daughter, on the other hand, she is maybe 5'2". And she's got the Pro Max. And I'm thinking, you've got a Pro Max, and you're walking around either carrying it or putting it in your jeans pocket, your back pocket. It's like, really?
Easy enough to grab that bad boy.
And you're walking around New York City like that? Okay.
Yeah.
I hope you have insurance on that. But in any case, you know, just going back, you know, to Tesla, and Tesla manufactures in China, and Tesla faces a tremendous amount of competition in China for EVs. Okay. Here in the United States, Tesla does not face as much competition because even with the subsidies that the politicians have pushed towards EVs, not selling.
Well, now, you know, Dodge is getting into the market. They're rebranding the Charger to be all electric. Ford has got the fake Mustangs like Tom's got.
Fake Mustangs.
Well, he has a real Mustang as well.
That's true. That's true.
I do.
I retract my statement, Tom.
But he does have the electric.
Yep, the electric one. Chevy, what has Chevy got? They've got one too. I mean, there's got to be more competition here for the EVs against Tesla than
Nobody is. GM and Ford have been losing money on EVs.
Oh, yeah.
Ford cut back on the F-150 Lightning, not selling.
Yep. I know I wouldn't want one. I have a friend who, his father-in-law, they were going to take a brand new Ford Lightning on a snowmobile trip.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. They got left up north and got down to Mankato, had to stay overnight to charge it up. Got out to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and had to stop, charge it up. And then they started to look at, well, where's our next charging station going to be?
Uh-oh.
There aren't any between Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Montana where they were going.
I don't doubt it.
So they literally had to cancel their snowmobile trip and turn around and come back.
Ugh.
But they had the snowmobiles.
They had the snowmobiles.
Had gas,
yes.
And they could drag.
they could drag
that
truck.
Lightning along. Yeah,
exactly.
Now here's something just in terms of EVs, and the charging stations. Why is it? This is just a question because the federal government has been pushing the electrification of cars to reduce emissions and help the climate. I have issues with that, but that's another story. So we've got some government mandated industrial policy, which has in the past tended to push up prices and we'll say hurt a lot of competition and or development. But there is a lot of money available to create charging stations. Why haven't the oil companies who used to own all the gas stations around or some of the gas stations around have their own chargers? You got to pay for them.
Right.
I mean, they're not free. So if you have more charging stations available, even at the gas stations, then you don't have to worry about it on your trip. Why hasn't that been happening?
Well, that's how the...
Why?
The infrastructure isn't there.
Why? What do you mean the infrastructure is not there?
They can't have enough power to charge all those EV cars that they want us to have.
No, it's a lot of amperage.
Yeah.
It's an insane amount of amperage.
Exactly.
Do you mean to tell me that there aren't enough windmills to make that available or solar farms?
I teach my kids in Driver's Ed. I have to teach these kids. You guys know where they charge these, where this power comes from, mm-hmm. right?
And they say no?
Oh, windmills and solar. I'm like, it comes from the nuclear plants, the coal-fired plants. Yep. It makes power that you plug in, the same exact power you plug into your wall. What? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep.
Well, and nuclear power is very high efficiency, and it is quite green, actually.
When it's done properly.
but that's the problem, is people are so scared of it that there haven't been any real advancements in a long time, because mm-hmm. everyone's just like constantly, they'd rather tear down all the power plants than learn to build them properly.
Yep.
Again, Carlo Cipolla wrote a great book in 1979. 95% of people are stupid.
Yep.
That's a true. He wrote 75 books, this man wrote, and one of them was that. 95% of people are stupid. And look at the things that we do. Did you hear what Bill Gates said yesterday?
No.
Kind of on this subject. Bill Gates, he must be investing in the automobile industry. Do you know if he is or not, Josh?
That I do not know. I do know that he has his family office called mm-hmm. Crescent Management, mm-hmm. and they could invest in the automobile industry, and he might not even know it.
Yeah, that's true. His biggest thing is
healthcare in Africa.
Yep.
Yes, healthcare in Africa. That's
he has
exactly
a 16% stock in Auto Nation, or stake in Auto Nation, which is just
there
like some car.
Well, that's a used in new car dealerships.
But nothing like major, it would appear.
Okay, you know how I knew he had to own some automobile business? He announced yesterday, Bill Gates, who's apparently an expert on all these things, you know what pollutes much more than automobiles?
No.
Cow farts.
I know, they're still on that. They really don't want us eating meat. Well, they want to eat meat. They don't want us eating meat, though.
That's right. Cow farts pollute much more than automobiles.
Yeah, they've been on that for decades.
But I knew he had to invest it in a car company, because that prick only says nice things about something if he owns part of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Woo! Money grubbing puke. Jesus.
Whoa.
Ugh,
it's a good thing. It's a good thing that he's not here to defend himself here.
Yeah, he's a real tough guy, I'm sure.
Oh man!
But isn't it?
Well, he's on that plane. He was on that plane with Jeffrey Epstein. That's all you have to know.
Yeah, there you go. It's all you need to know, right there. What a horrible human being! Every time he says something, you know he just made money by saying that.
Oh yeah.
Every time. Whatever. Good for you, kids. So, you know, we do the best. I bought my first electric vehicle. I bought one of the first Teslas ever made. And that's a fact, mm-hmm. and Andy can tell you. One of the first ones
You had a little sports car?
Yeah, the Roadster, yep.
The Roadster.
Do you still have it?
No.
No, I sold it a long time ago.
Very, very small.
And also, if the wheels could freeze up on the freeway.
The bricking.
And I ain't gonna be in a car where it freezes up in the middle of traffic. No, thank you. I love the car. I thought it was a lot of fun and all the rest of it. Catherine and I have owned together, I think, 5 or 6 electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
They are a massive pain in the ass. I will tell you that. They're a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their six Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You know, the thing that gets me with the electric, with the EVs, is I have range anxiety. If my gas gauge dips below half, I'm starting to think, all right, where is the closest gas station? Mm-hmm. I want to be able, if I jump into the dang car, I want to be able to go until, you know, 300, 400 miles.
When you're driving around in your cruiser?
It gets three-quarters. You use a quarter of a tank, you go fill it up.
Okay.
Because you're going to, if you get into a chase, you're going to be burning a ton of gas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And you don't want to run out of gas on a pursuit.
Yeah, cars are tuned to get the best gas mileage at about 55 miles an hour, because that's the average speed throughout all driving. So the farther you get from 55, the worse your gas mileage is, especially once you get above it. If you're going 90, 100 miles an hour,
you're
burning
an
entire tank of gas in no time.
Yep. What was it, the Bugatti Veyron?
Oh, yeah.
Would have, I think it's like a 32-gallon tank, a big tank.
How big is this vehicle?
This is a $2 million-plus vehicle.
In terms of size.
Oh, sedan.
A sedan? Okay.
The Bugatti Veyron's top speed fuel economy is 1.5 gallons per minute.
12 minutes if you started and you're running 240 kilometers an hour in that thing.
Yep.
They've done this test.
So it's 32 minutes is the only thing you can drive that vehicle.
You run out of gas in 12 minutes.
Well, yes, if you're an 8-liter quad turbocharged engine.
Yep.
I mean, you don't need to go top speed in this thing under any circumstances.
No, 100%.
But you can.
Yep, but yeah, I was watching an old episode of Top Gear where they were talking about the Veyron and how I had forgotten that. That's right. That's like a huge gas tank, and you burn it up in 12 minutes if you're going the 200.
The top speed, 254 miles per hour.
Per hour.
Jesus.
That's pretty fast.
Can you imagine the tunnel vision you get doing them?
I'd be afraid of hitting a pebble and disintegrating instantly.
Honestly, Andy, those tires are that wide.
Well, they'd have to be.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Literally.
Otherwise, you hit a pothole at that speed using a normal tire, and your car is gone, and so are you.
Top Gear had it. There's a track, I think, in Germany France, that is basically it's a huge 10-mile circle.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
It's like a particle accelerator for cars.
So you can, and it's banked and everything, and then there's a straight shot that runs for 10 miles, through it. So they put one of those on there.
I don't even know how you could see or concentrate going that fast.
You literally
react to what's going on in front of you? Yeah, there's no way.
Basically are looking about the front of your car because that's all you're seeing.
Yep.
At the front bumper of your car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if you've ever played like a racing game, like a really realistic racing game where you can go that fast, you cannot react to things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there can be a building five blocks ahead of you. Yep. And if you don't know what's coming up ahead of time, you're going to hit that building.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, now you get the upside from Uncle Tommy. I come home. Catherine goes, hey, can I use your phone? Ah, oh, damn, I'm sorry. I left my phone in Chicago. I'll be back in 3 hours. And I ain't flying down there, okay?
I don't think it would even take 3 hours. Let's see. Let's pull up Google Maps here.
450 miles, I know that.
Is it? It's 450 from Chicago to Minneapolis?
Yep.
Let's see. Let's see how accurate you are. I'm going to fact check you.
Uh-oh.
3 hours, baby.
408 miles.
Well, it's only 408 miles.
But Oops. So, yeah, if you're going 250 miles an hour for an 800-mile journey, that's, yeah, about 3 hours there and back.
Yeah? Yep, so. I'll be back in 3 hours. Thanks. God. Can you imagine that?
Going 250 imagine. Miles an hour down 94.
I'd like to try it just once, but I would want to a professional driver. Ooh. Behind the wheel.
I'd have to take an immortality potion first before I'd be comfortable going 250 miles an hour in a car.
Oh.
Well, I have a
question. What happens with all those other... Okay, now here's where we go. The morons that are out driving in the Monford lane.
What's a Monford lane?
Well, that's the left lane.
Oh, like the carpool lane?
With the car. That's the... Not the carpool
the lane.
It's the passing lane.
Oh, okay.
The Monford lane relates to the Monford trucks that used to haul beef out of Colorado coming east.
Yep.
And those trucks would, they were hauling oats, so to speak.
And there you go.
If you were traveling, as I've driven across country in my younger days, in either my Ford Falcon, which really could not keep up, or my Datsun 710.
Mm.
If you saw one of those trucks go by and you wanted to move along, just move in behind them.
Catch the draft, and you're
catch
right,
the draft,
yep.
And they were moving. Very fast.
Yep.
And you just had to make sure that you did not get in front of them when they were barreling along, particularly on a downhill. Yep.
Well, can you imagine driving on the Autobahn?
Oh, God.
No.
I'd be terrified.
That would just
the turnpike in Florida is scary enough.
Is
and that
really?
Has a speed limit.
Oh, man.
I mean, it technically has a speed limit.
No, there's no speed limit on the Autobahn,
nope.
Of course. But anybody can just change lanes willy-nilly and do whatever they want to do.
And that just drives me up a wall.
Isn't it crazy?
Is you have somebody in what I call the passing lane
yep.
with a speed limit. Well, let's say if the Florida turnpike, the speed limit's, what, 70 miles an hour?
Something like that, yeah.
And you've got... somebody in a rickety, rusty vehicle going 45 in the passing lane, and you're coming along there with your Bugatti?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there actually is. It's actually a primary law that they can be pulled over for traveling in the left lane nowadays.
Yeah, there's a minimum speed.
Well, the minimum speed, like for your basic freeway, is 70 is your maximum, is your limit, and 40 is your minimum speed.
But you're supposed to be in the
right lane, baby, hugging that white line on the side of the road.
Okay, I got to tell you guys something. This morning, by coincidence, because I didn't know we were going to be talking about this, I go for my morning walk every morning, about 7:15, right? And I'm going to cross Okeechobee Boulevard, which is a very busy street that goes across the bridge to Palm Beach Island, comes back across to West Palm Beach and all the rest of it. If I had not looked to my left... I looked straight ahead, and the white walk light came on. You guys know the walk light, that whole deal?
Mm-hmm.
The white walk light came on, and I took one step into the street. For some reason, I looked to my left, and there was a Porsche that went by me turning right at about 60 miles.
You have to look every time. You cannot
he
trust people.
He would have killed me.
Yeah.
Woo.
Mm-hmm. I had the right-of-way, and he would have run right over me and killed me had I not seen him coming.
I always tell my students at driving school, never expect the other guy to do it right.
Nope.
No.
Never. Expect him to do the thing that's going to put you in the most danger.
Exactly.
Well, he did. God, I got lucky because I just happened to glance to my left and went, whoa. Look out.
Stepping back up.
Yeah, what
somebody is looking out for you.
I think it's, let's see, Catholics and Jews, what do they believe in equally?
Not saints.
Yahweh?
Not saints. Yahweh.
Just God. Just God.
There it is.
Just God.
Jehovah? To make everyone angry?
Yep.
Every time I hear that name, I think of Monty Python. Jehovah, Jehovah. Remember they were dancing around. That was very funny. God, I miss those guys. Great guys.
Emil linked a news study from, or not a news article from Milwaukee. They decided to try to cross Wisconsin in an EV.
On 94?
To see if they could do it. 332 miles.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. I'm going to have to read this for a little bit, but...
Okay, well, I'm going to say this while you're reading this, because Emil has been listening to my show for about 54 straight years.
Indeed.
Now. It's unbelievable how loyal that man is. Honest to God. Thank you, Emil. My grandfather's name was Emil, but he was a prick, so never mind.
Not the good kind?
He was not the good kind.
I love this. Thanks, Emil, for listening to me every day for 54 years.
At least you're not a prick about it.
Come on.
Basically, the takeaway is that in a gas car, it would have taken 6 hours. In an EV, it took 9 because of the waiting for charging. But it is doable if you plan it ahead of time, because you do have to plan routes that have fast chargers. Because you can technically plug an EV into an outlet. That's called like level one charging, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm. It takes forever.
It takes, yeah, you get something like 1 mile every, like, 15 minutes or something like that.
I think it's five. It's every, yeah. Three.
Yeah, it's so slow that it's only worth doing overnight and only to top off.
Okay. Now, here's just some little thought of mine. Eve, it's very nice to have these electric mm-hmm. vehicles. But if these EVs had been that efficient when the automobile was developed, and I'm sure at one time that there were people trying for electric vehicles.
I know there was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the first cars were electric.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the internal combustion engine succeeded?
Big oil.
Nobody knew about
I
oil.
I know. I just
at that point in time.
Right.
But why did they have success for over 100 years?
It's all about that energy storage. Gas is just technically a form of energy storage, and it can be converted from liquid into energy very quickly. It can mm-hmm. be transported very easily, and it's very stable. I mean, a gallon of gas has a lot of energy in it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with an electric vehicle, the only way to store the energy is in a battery. And batteries take a long time to convert what's in them to electricity, mm-hmm. and right. they take a long time to charge. Mm-hmm. If we had a battery that could be charged in no time flat, then there would be no real reason to drive a combustion car, except for if you know, like the combustion aspect. But until then, I mean, it's just an objective fact that gasoline is a better medium for transferring energy than a battery.
No.
Thank you very much, Professor.
You're welcome. I mean, technically, the best thing would be to put some sort of like a low-power nuclear reactor in a car.
There you go.
But then you get in a car accident. And
Tom, how did you teach your son? This is a great guy. He's thinking things that I had thought about. Why not have a nuclear reactor in your car?
It would technically. That's what they use to power a lot of satellites. They put like a tiny little bit of radioactive isotope in there. It'll power that thing for 100,000 years. But would you want that in, you know, like a car where if you rear end someone, you got uranium all over the highway. not so good.
Well, now, what about, I should use a microphone thing.
Probably.
What, What about the buses and stuff that are running on hydrogen?
Hydrogen is good. It's just there's no infrastructure. We'd have to build or convert all of this infrastructure from gas to hydrogen.
I get you.
So I mean, at one time, I remember even around here, they had hydrogen-powered buses and taxis.
Yeah.
You could have a converter and you'd stick it in your trunk. And I think over off Lindale, Lindale on 62, there was a place you could fill up your hydrogen. I don't think that is there any longer.
Yeah, no, hydrogen is a perfectly good fuel. It burns really clean, and you can make it out of water or air. Mm-hmm. But it's just, we'd have to build billions of miles of piping just to put the infrastructure, because you can't convert from gas to hydrogen, because then you can't deliver gas anymore.
Oh, I got you.
Yep, exactly. So it would just, it's...
So it's basically like the electric grid not being strong enough to take all the EVs that they want us to drive.
Yeah, but we already have an electric grid.
Yeah, but
so it's like imagine an electric grid in like 1930.
Okay.
That's about where our hydrogen economy is. It's probably worse, actually, because most houses had electric lights in the 30s, right?
Right.
It's more like maybe like 1880. You know, like some big cities had it, but outside of that. And that's where hydrogen is. So it would require an insane amount of money to build the infrastructure required for hydrogen cars.
Gotcha.
You know, if it were like many, many years ago, and we could say, hey, I'm from the future, build hydrogen, don't build for gas, then that would be a good idea. We could just start with hydrogen and never worry about gas. But at this point, I think it's too far gone.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately true. What are you going to do? All I have to say is, what was it again?
I wouldn't know.
Booty jig or what was it?
Booty juice.
Mm-hmm.
Booty juice. That's what it was. Juice. Exactly, something like that.
Emil says Schwann's trucks were LP, that's liquid propane, mm-hmm. I think. Liquid propane powered for a long time.
Yep.
But again, there's no... I mean, there kind of is infrastructure, but you have to go to a... LP depot to get fueled up. You're not going to stop into Holiday and
swap out a 20 pound gas tank.
And propane also, it burns very clean.
Yes.
But it is a limited resource, just like gasoline. So, you know, the more you burn it, the less there's going to be, the more expensive it's going to get. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Hydrogen, well, that's a very interesting thing, because when I'll say... Your dad and I were your age.
There you go.
But I do remember in the 1970s, there was a big push, and banks had written numerous papers, we were going to run out of oil.
Yep.
Yes.
Going to run out of oil. Not only were we going to run out of oil before the turn of the century, we were going to enter an ice age.
I remember, yep.
Okay, well, we haven't run out of oil. And we haven't entered an ice age, because now people are talking about, well, they talk about climate change. They no longer talk about global warming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it's just vague climate change.
But it's very interesting that for some strange reason, we continue to find more and more oil.
Well, the issue isn't so much that there won't be any more oil at all. It's that it won't be worth it to drill, because... As we use oil, we have to drill deeper and deeper. And as the technology gets better, it becomes easier to do that. But eventually, it's like, if it costs $1,000 to drill up one barrel of oil, is anyone going to even want to fuel up anymore?
Right.
But you don't know.
Yeah. No, you don't know. And every time they find an oil reserve, gas gets cheaper.
I mean, there's still also, there's natural gas, and natural gas is very... Very inexpensive right now.
Natural gas is very cheap, yeah.
And that natural gas can be liquefied and turned into liquid natural gas.
Yep.
But the current administration in Washington has put a kibosh on development and exporting of liquid natural gas.
So here's how you solve all the world's problems, right? You take... What's his name's idea that cows are polluting the world?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Yeah. And you shove a tube up a cow's behind, and you pipe it into your car
methane
and run on
harvesting.
The
That'd be really good. So I'm just waiting along.
Come on,
for the cow to go break some wind.
Let's go.
Has there ever been a methane powered vehicle?
I don't know if it's been methane powered, but I know that there are methane powered plants.
Huh.
They smell a little bit.
Oh, they smell a little bit.
Oh, I would assume so, yeah. Yeah, looks like there have been experimental liquid methane powered vehicles.
Cool.
You imagine the scene of an accident. With a liquid methane power. You couldn't go near it for 6 months.
I don't know. Everybody's walking around looking, where are the cows?
Well, it's cryogenic.
Okay.
So it has to be cooled to minus 260 degrees. So it's kind of impractical.
Yeah.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
I'm going to follow Fats Domino's lead. This time I'm walking to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. He had it nailed in 1957, that was, I think, something like that. I don't know.
He was walking to New Orleans, but he was just starting in, what is he, in Matri or something like that?
Yeah.
Not far.
That's true. Yeah. Well, he said he's going to need two pair of shoes when he gets through walking these blues, though. Don't forget that part. Yeah, I don't know what the hell we got. Catherine and I, like I said, we've tried to follow along. Matter of fact, when we built the house in Golden Valley, we tried to get some towers or put panels on the roof so it would be, you know, much more efficient. The city said, no, you cannot do that. Forget it. The people don't like the looks of it and all the rest of it. We've had 5, 6, 7 electric cars. We've done everything we possibly can do, and it basically has benefited us in no way, shape, or form. It just hasn't. It doesn't work. I'm sorry.
That's the problem with trying to legislate away thermodynamics. You can't do it.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, good point.
I mean, one solar panel can't even come close to charging really anything.
Mm-hmm.
You need many solar panels. We got gigantic solar farms out where we live.
Oh, by your house, absolutely.
Yeah, farmers sell off like an acre of land, and they cover the entire thing in solar panels, and that'll generate a lot of electricity. But the problem is, you know, once the sun goes down, where does that electricity go?
Yeah.
You have to store it if you want to use it during the night.
Then you got a 10 billion batteries.
Yep, you got gigantic batteries, which are very expensive and need to be replaced, and they don't like getting too cold or too hot. And we're back to the energy storage issue. Mm-hmm.
Damn cow farts. I knew it. I knew it would happen.
And I just look at all the minerals that are needed to manufacture these batteries.
That too.
Oh God.
And
yes.
And all of people that were concerned with the environment and to manufacture or to get all these minerals, you have to mine things. And mining does not necessarily good for the environment.
No. No,
Not. Looking for those minerals, you're not, you know, making a little hole in the ground and going down. You're
tearing the earth apart.
Tearing a lot of things apart.
Okay, let me ask you guys a question about this whole argument. Because the United States has done a magnificent job with all of it. I'm, you know, proud to say. Actually, the whole Western Hemisphere has. All of the problems on this planet are in the Eastern Hemisphere.
Yeah,
but they
much.
Take no blame for any of it. 7 billion people live in the Eastern Hemisphere, and what, 1.5 billion in the Western Hemisphere? They have been polluting our planet forever, but somehow Americans, because they have money, it's always about money, by the way. no matter what you're talking about. What time is it? I don't know how much money you got on you. It's everything's about money now. So when are we going to put our foot down and say, look, you people in the Eastern Hemisphere have to get off your ass and start doing something about all the polluting you've been doing, the wars you fight nonstop. I mean, it's a disaster over there.
Well, the thing is, they don't care.
They don't care. I mean,
if you go to the Chinese government and say, hey, stop polluting, they're going to tell you to go to hell.
Yes, and what are
you going to do about it?
India's all the money. Just as bad.
Oh, yeah,
Africa,
absolutely.
You know, it's,
they don't care. They don't care what we want.
At all.
Nope.
The only good spots, there's a couple of golf courses on Scotland that I love to play. But other than that, it's a total disaster. Ireland, too. I like England, Ireland, Scotland. That's all I have to say. But in any case, yeah, I get very upset by that, that America's doing this wrong and America's doing that wrong. Compared to everybody else, we are not doing anything wrong.
Okay, no. Who is saying that America's doing all these things wrong?
All the activists.
Americans.
Yeah, that's true.
You're right. It's Americans. You're 100%.
And I've always said, if you don't like what's happening here and you have all these complaints, goodbye. Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
Go to the places that you think are better.
Yep.
Yeah, if you genuinely believe that any given country in Europe, you go there and you'll never have to worry about anything again, it's a clean utopia where everyone gets free money forever, why aren't you moving there?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're just pretending that you believe that and you don't actually believe it deep down.
Well, there's money to be made, Andy. It's always about money. Always, unfortunately. Isn't that sad? I mean, Josh, I believe it's, you know, people like yours' fault, the people that do it.
It is my fault because I tried to increase people's wealth.
Yes, you do.
Through investing in different companies. And for the most part, I've been reasonably successful.
Yes, I would say reasonably.
What you can ask for.
So I think that's a pretty good, that's hedged out pretty good.
You seem to be doing fine, Josh, yes.
There's no question. Yeah, it's one unfortunate thing for you because, you know, in the next couple of years, some very good things are going to be happening for the family, and I'm going to have to come to you, and you have to manage that whole, you're never getting rid of me now, Josh.
Wonderful. Never getting rid of you.
His eyes lit up, Tom, you wouldn't believe.
Tom's a great guy.
Uh-huh.
He is a great guy. I'll say, I just enjoy being around him. My mother enjoys being around.
I love your mother.
He and Catherine.
Pick my feet up. It's getting deep.
No, my mother. Okay.
Because we've talked about a few things.
My mother does love Tom.
Well,
and when I go down to Florida, are we going to go have lunch with Tom and Catherine?
By the way, Kyle at Smoke and Oak, he's got a great barbecue place down in Red Wing, Minnesota. We took he and his family to Prime Catch. I thought he was going to have a heart attack. It was so wonderful. He thought it was the best place he's ever been.
And yet you eat out on the deck.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a great place. Did your mother know about that or your sister? Who knew about
that? No, my cousin...
Or your cousin
Debbie, who you met.
Yeah.
She knew about it. She told my mother.
God,
so my mother loves going there. And because we've met you and Catherine there, now you've got another place. Now a couple other things on my mother. Okay, you know that she's 96.
Okay,
the local newspaper down in Pompano Beach did a nice feature on her for golf. You know, that
they
she
did?
Is out there twice a week playing 18 holes.
Good
so
for
they
her.
They went with her and some of her girlfriends and tracked her around for several hours and wrote a very nice piece about her that's in the, I think it's in the Pelican and might end up being in the Fort Lauderdale Sun. Okay, that's one thing. You're talking about speed limit on the Florida Turnpike? A few years ago, who got a speeder on the Florida Turnpike?
Your mother.
My mother.
Hammer down.
Officer, I'm just going with the traffic.
I'm just going to church. I'm going to synagogue. Come on.
And, you know, my mother has... lost height.
That will happen.
Older. And I think the officer saw this car going, the state trooper saw the car going down the road and was wondering,
driving.
Who is driving this car?
Self-driving
vehicle.
How tall
is your mother? She's right around 5 feet.
She's right around 5 foot right now.
Yeah, she is. And weighs maybe about 95 pounds.
Something like that.
Not a bruiser.
So I should be careful when I you know, because she'll like body slam me and kick me around.
Oh, yeah. No, she's a lovely woman. She's just a sweet. Well, your whole family's nice.
Oh, thank you. No, she would
come. What happened to you?
I have no idea.
Hey, what the hell did you
do? It's like my sister says, oh, I don't want to talk to you.
Hey, I got a sister like that, so you and I got that in common. Haven't seen her in, 25 years, something like that?
No, it's probably been little less than 20. I remember she was 20. She was in Golden Valley, so it has to have been 04, 05.
Yeah, that's true.
At the very earliest.
Only 20 years. And you know what the funny part of that is? It's all based on politics. You walk away from a family member because of belief in politics? Really? I learned a lot from that.
That's sad.
It is, but I mean, it happens in a lot of families now, man.
Yep.
A lot. I really don't understand. Could somebody show me the highlights of one political party compared to the other as far as being squeaky clean? Which one's better?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that there is.
Not going to be there. Not going to be there.
The thing is like my family is about as divisive as you could get. I have aunts that are teachers all the way from college professors to high school music teachers, okay? And 3/4 of them are the most liberal people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, maybe, I don't know if it's 3/4, maybe 2/3. And then the other third of us are somewhere more middle, but obviously for what the kind of the left has done to my career and my profession, tend to
defund you.
Yes,
defund
exactly,
you.
Exactly. It's like, you know, I can't really buy
you
into
are
BS.
You are a
I'm the problem.
You're the problem.
I'm a large white problem. Male.
You are a problem.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people?
I don't get it. We only got 2 minutes left here, but I have to ask you. I don't hate anybody. There are people I don't like. But I wouldn't give anybody the energy to hate them. I don't hate anybody. You want to believe what you believe, good for you. You want to not, good for you too. I don't care in the least. Some people, no, I guarantee you I'm going to get some you know, correspondence on the whole Pete Buttigieg, Joe Biden thing. Oh, you're trying to make Biden look bad. No, I'm not. It was funny what he said. I mean, he misspoke. I've done it. In my own life, I misspeak and say, well, again, remember Tim Pawlenty said it's time to drop the puck. Only he didn't say puck. And I made fun of that constantly for about 2 years. And it wasn't to try to hurt Tim Pawlenty. And then this is not to hurt Joe Biden either. It's funny. Calm down. Can we ever get a sense of humor again? What do you think?
I doubt
that
it.
Would be great.
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt it too. You think it'd be great, but it's not going to happen?
Apparently the sentence is.
Do I need to like come over there and
I'm looking? Yes.
I'm looking it up. Well, it's time to go anyway, so that's fine.
That is
you
true.
Can go breathe fresh air.
Yep.
Go breathe some methane.
Let me give you a couple of shoulder slams. You'll start breathing.
There you go.
Or stop breathing.
All right, gentlemen, I just want to say as we leave, I hate you all because of your politics. Leave me alone.
Oh, gosh.
Kiss me. Kiss my rosy red cheeks.
All I want to tell you, it's going to be a very interesting weekend for a few reasons. Hopefully, Tiger makes it to Saturday.
That'd be good. Love it.
That would be nice.
Tiger.
Hopefully, Phil makes it to Saturday.
The Masters is
on. Masters is on. The Masters is going to give a nice benefit to such companies as Nike, Adidas, Acushnet, also known as Titleist, and Topgolf, Topgolf Callaway. Those companies could benefit a little bit, as well as there's always a betting line, and that could continue to boost Flutter, which owns FanDuel, favorite DraftKings, Caesars Bets, and we'll say MGM Bets could get a little boost from that into Masters Week. Those companies all got a nice boost last weekend from the Final Four. So
there you go.
Have a great weekend for that, and beware the spike in oil prices.
Oh yeah.
Should the Iranians decide that they want to do more to intimidate Israel over the weekend?
Just remember, death to America. They're chanting that in Michigan, for Christ's sake.
Where are you right now?
Yeah.
Oh, huh?
Yeah, we're in Dearborn, Michigan. That's it. Okay, so where are you from? Well, we're from Dearborn, Michigan, but...
Death to America.
Okay. And didn't they manufacture cars in Dearborn, Michigan?
Full Moco, baby. Full Moco.
Full Moco.
Okay,
Ford so... Ford Motor Company.
Yeah, so death to America. You're in Dearborn, Michigan, home of Ford
Motor Company.
Yep. And... what is your problem? and who do you work for?
It's
it's true.
Exactly.
Death to America. You don't like it here?
Don't let the doorknob hit you where the good Lord split you.
That's a good one to end on.
Goodbye. We'll talk to you guys next week.